Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We have a new way you can support the family of Bugle shows, including The Gargle, which is this show. Go to thebuglepodcast.com and click on donate. You'll see the usual options with Apple and one-off contributions, but we have upgraded the offer for our premium subscribers. Signing up to this will get you 2 Bugle family gifts per year, with the first being an exclusive limited edition episode of The Bugle on 12-inch vinyl. I shit you not, that is real and happening. All monthly donors will now also get an extra show each month. The initial idea, assuming it works, is a show called Ask Andy, and it involves Andy Zaltzman and you asking him your questions and him answering your questions. Signing up to either the Apple or Premium subscriber offerings will give you this show ad-free, except obviously the half a glass of water ads. That's a contract that I will never get out of. It is signed in blood and water. If you are already a premium donor or regular donor who doesn't want to change how they donate, you don't need to do anything. Thank you for your continuing generosity in keeping The Gargle going. We could not exist without your support. We are paid by and through the Bugle family, and it has kept me alive through some hard times, so I really appreciate your support.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Duncan MacLeod was born 400 years ago in the Highlands of Scotland. He is immortal, and he is not alone. For centuries, they've waited for the time of the gathering when the stroke of a sword will release the power of the quickening. In the end, there can be only one. And that one is The Gargle. This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alison Spittle.
Hey, boo, boo, boo.
And James Colley.
G'day.
I know you very well, James. I've known you for many, many years, and yet I looked at your Zoom profile picture and it says Zoom user, and I nearly said Zoom user.
I just like to advertise the brand I'm on, you know. I like to give support to Zoom the way Zoom supports me.
Before we put our hands on each other's hips and do that weird funny dance in a line that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover this week is Russell Bland, Russell Brand's non-evil twin brother, with a tell-all expose on all of the ins and outs of his job wholesaling staple sharpeners. Subheadline is a comment section that won't make you feel sick.
I don't want to get too political too early, but I just feel bad for all the kids who had already brought their pirate costumes for Halloween, because like it's going to be very hard to prove now that you're definitely a pirate.
it's a terrible thing for the guyliner sales industry. You know, all of the men who wear eyeliner. Like, we've lost Johnny Depp, we've lost Russell Brand.
Who would have known?
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe he needs to look at himself and reform his actions.
The satirical cartoon this week is this statement in full from Lisa Branken, the Ford UK chair, the chairman of the car company Ford, who said 3 years ago the government announced the UK's transition to electric new car and van sales from 2030. The audio industry is investing to meet that challenge. This is the biggest industry transformation over a century, and the UK 2030 target is a vital catalyst to accelerate Ford into a cleaner future. Our business needs three things from the UK government: ambition, commitment, and consistency. A relaxation of 2030 would undermine all three. So you know the Tory government has f***ed up on the environment issue when well-known car company Ford tells you to pull your f***ing socks back up. Our top story this week is fossil-licking news. The Ig Nobel Prizes are out this year, one of our favourite times of the year here at The Gargle. The research into improbable things that make people laugh and then think, according to the website, came out this week, and some excellent research here. James Colley, you're our science correspondent. Can you unpack this story for us?
Of course I can. So the Ig Nobel Prize is Gargle Christmas. It is the biggest story of the year. So the winners are out of for this year. You might remember, so the Nobel Prize, just for differentiation, the Nobel Prize was started by the inventor of dynamite to assuage his guilt for creating such destruction. The Ig Nobel Prize is an award for people who have blown up their own scientific credibility and want to still feel good about themselves. So there's a bunch. So like the Nobel Prizes, there's a whole list that come out from this. There is the team that found anticipating boredom induces boredom in lecture attendees, which I'm certain was also a boring presentation to reveal. There was a group that studied how passersby stop and look up when they see other people on the street doing so, which is a real, okay, I've got my presentation at 8 a.m. I have not come up with anything between here and there. It's the comedian equivalent of a funny thing happened on the way to the gig.
Yes. They're going with
some science happened on the walk here that you all have to know about. A group that developed a smart toilet, which a smart enough toilet would categorize itself as a sink, firstly. No toilet that's that smart is staying as a toilet. There's a team that counted hairs in cadavers' noses, which they claim were science and not just perversion. But the one that really came through for us was the winner in chemistry and geology for the work in eating fossils. Now, the idea here is that you can learn a lot from licking a rock. And when the second this came up and I saw that Alison was on this week, I'm like, great, we have got our official expert in having conductive products in your mouth. You are here to exactly know. So I don't want to step on any of your learnings here. I'm going to leave this part of the experiment to the experts. All I will say about the Ig Nobels is it is so interesting to see all the amazing things scientists can now do now that they have the spare time after solving climate change. So as soon as you got climate change fixed, like, I'm sorry, I'm getting a note. Let me just Google something. Oh my God. Oh my God. How are we doing this?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's not even cancer. No cure for cancer yet. Diabetes, nothing. And they're like, we need to count the amount of hairs in a cadaver's nose. It's crazy. I mean, imagine as well being like my grandmother, when she died, she donated her body to science, and it was like a real, it was a real noble thing that she did. But I would be so pissed if that's what she donated her body towards, them just counting her hairs. You want something real big.
I mean, I imagine you can reuse the cadaver. It's not like, oh, well, I can't use this one for other research. It's already had its nose hairs counted. That one's finished. Put it in the bin.
Straight in the bin. Go on.
But how do you research cancer if the nose hairs are gone? You know what I mean? Number one. It's such a... it is nice that, like, you know, science is such a wide field, and we do get to have people be a bit silly. It is like stand-up comedy in a way. You know, some people like to do jokes about real things like sexual assault or whatever. I like to put batteries in my mouth. Oh, I do both, but like not the same time though. This Ig Nobel Prize is a fantastic thing. But
I mean,
really,
the premise of the
start.
Licking of the fossils is that you can bring out the texture of the minerals by wetting it. And when you're in the field, presumably it's too much trouble to go for your water bottle, so you can just go... but the idea is that eventually, if you've been doing this for long enough in order to see the fossil, you'll start to develop a taste for the kinds of minerals involved, and that extremely experienced fossil researchers will be able to tell you what a rock is by licking it.
Wow.
Which is probably the worst party trick.
It's also like the journey you have to, like, you have started a marathon you don't want to complete here, because I'm sure if you licked anything at your work, you'd be, we are professional writers, we could lick every pen, and eventually we'd be very good at being like, well, that's a blue, that's a black, that's a red. It doesn't mean it's worth the journey. I think it's like, it's more just a tragic sign of where science funding is at in our community now, that geologists are forced to lick rocks just to get through the lunch break. I think just like cost of living is very high. There's nothing else to do. They're out in the desert. There's not a Tesco's about. I've Britished up that joke for you people. I don't know what a Tesco's really is. I have vague context clues of what a Tesco's is. I presume they're not near rocky outcrops. So you are forced to lick a rock.
It's like a Coles Metro with about half the number of things on the shelves because of shortages, basically.
Do you think these geologists who lick the fossils are just the geologists who refuse to work for fossil fuel industries? And these are the only jobs that they have. And they're like, no, we're going to be moral people here and we're going to lick fossils.
Do you think someone was caught sucking off a dinosaur and had like 7 seconds to make an excuse?
Genuinely. Which type of dinosaur? I'd go for like Stegosaurus or something.
I'd say Triceratops. Get your money's worth.
Yeah, well, three of them. Just like...
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Toothbrush. The Toothbrush. Wipe away your mouth sins. All you need is some teeth, a mouth, some sort of an abrasive that aids in removing dental plaque and food from the teeth, assists in suppressing halitosis and delivers active ingredients, most commonly fluoride, to help prevent tooth decay and gum disease. Also, half a glass of water.
Have you been sucking off a dinosaur? Well, clean out those mouth sins with a toothbrush. Also, use that brush to clean off the dirt from the dinosaur bones instead of your filthy, filthy tongue.
Well, I mean, it's sort of also one of those things where you're laying a trap for future archaeologists who are going to be like, all dinosaurs were covered in spit. I mean, it's going to make DNA research a lot harder. The fact is, the economy we're all neck deep in perpetuating is a nightmare, and the days of working your way up through the ranks of a company which is as loyal to you as you are to it seem as pleasingly romantic and feudal as the romantic or feudal periods. You've also looked for way longer than you'd ever admit to your conservative friends at ads for nude modelling, because they look quite lucrative, and the only reason you haven't sent in your CV is that they've asked for a CV, and really, being rejected for nude modelling on the strength of your CV would be more heartbreaking than the time your beloved grandmother told you digital design sounded like a made-up job for fairies, and you found out either your grandmother hates digital design or is a homophobe, or that your beloved grandmother believes in fairies but thinks they're second-class citizens. All that said, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by running a black market human fighting ring. Let's be fair. It's neither more unethical nor more dehumanizing than 80% of available jobs right now. Running a black market human fighting ring. Call us and discover your options today. And a new novel is out by self-published romance maven and online bestseller Dancy Lagarde. Balls in the Air is a modern contemporary romance with a sports team drama twist. Joe's a big leagues player in the Chicago Animals. He's got the best arm in the business and the best bottom too. But his public persona as a care-nothing playboy is a well-manicured illusion hiding beneath it, a man who just wants to be the best he can be. They've just won the finals, so why does he feel so empty inside? Sienna is a local Chicago nursing student working as a bar girl to make ends meet. She's just found out her fiancé is cheating on her and is out for a rebound fling. When Joe rescues Sienna from a sexually aggressive umpire on his team's night out, they fall into each other's arms for what each of them thinks is a no-strings-attached flings, but somehow the meaningless sex is the most meaningful sex either of them has ever had. And they are both shaken to discover that the next day they want to spend the day together going to art galleries and having breakfast in each other's T-shirts. Soon, Joe must find a date to the awards ceremony, and Sienna needs a revenge boyfriend for her cousin's upcoming wedding, and they agree to pretend to be going out in a way that would be totally acceptable to everyone, including themselves, if it were real. But it isn't. But is it? But it isn't. But it is. But could it be? Find out in Balls in the Air, available now in all catcher's mitts.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Art news now, and this is the news of a cursed painting that has been sold at a premium, basically because it was returned and the premise is that it's cursed. And some people just, I mean, it's an odd person to be the person that believes enough in a curse to pay more for a cursed painting, but not enough in a curse to be worried that you're buying a cursed painting.
That's so true.
Alison Spittle, you're our art correspondent. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so this was a painting. It's a to give the podcast listener the theatre of the mind. Basically, this painting is of like a pretty little girl in like a red kind of shirt, she looks a bit like Keira Knightley. I think that would be the best description. But if Keira Knightley was a cursed painting, that's what it's like. I know. So this is a painting that's been returned twice to a charity shop. And someone had a very clever idea of putting a little sticker on it to say that, like, this is cursed. And, it goes, she's back, sold twice and returned twice. Are you brave enough? Which is an incredible piece of marketing. And I think, like, McDonald's should do this for their next, like, new burger and call it, like, cursed burger. Are you brave enough? So many have died. Well, it's just botulism. You know, it's a great way of repainting a disaster. So this lady called Zoe Elliott Brown. She was the last person to buy it out of this charity shop. And she sold it for, let's see how much, 1,680 quid in an online auction. And she's giving half the money to Hastings Advice and Representation Centre, which is the charity shop. So yeah, let's talk about this. It's such a weird story because looking at the poster, like, or looking at the picture, do you think it's cursed?
I feel it's chock-a-block with ghosts. Oh, this has ghosts out the bloody wazoo, this thing. I hate this child. I hate everything about this painting. I think the eyes are going to move on me. I do not care for her one bit. I think if I looked away and looked back, I would be in the painting and she would be here. I do not care for this painting. I will bring it back a third time.
That's how Keira Knightley got her first job. Like, some executive looked in and she came out and said, I'll star your film. It's so, like, art is so subjective. And I lived in a shared house that had this old piece of art from many, many tenants ago. And it was of this woman who was dipping her very, very long toes into some water.
Oh, no.
Like, they were extremely long. Now, looking back, I think whoever painted this, quite into feet, but like I
the Quentin Tarantino of brushwork.
exactly. But I was I still, that is the one piece of art I still remember, and it's, I think it's because I think it was cursed and I was too afraid to move it. I was too afraid to move it from its place and left
the toes
it there.
Were following you around the room.
Absolutely. Those toes could go around corners. They could, like, you know.
This is how we get people back into art galleries. You have the boring classic section, but you have it advertised as everyone who painted these pictures has now died.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. James Colley, what have you brought in for us this week?
This week I am reviewing Summer, which should be difficult because it is September, which in Australia for years now has been spring. But it is very much not spring. It is 35 degrees yesterday, 36 today. It is continuing on that way. It is. Do you know how, like, in kids' films, they're always like, this is going to be the summer that lasts forever. Well, that sucks. That's extremely bad. I would have to say, don't do it. It's not a good time. It is really, do you know what? Here's what happens. Here is what you have.
Reverse Narnia.
Here's what you have to look forward to. What happens is you're like, you walk out and you go, oh my God. This is a beautiful day. This is perfect weather. What a lucky boy I am to live in such a place. And then you realize it is 6:30 a.m. and it's going to get hotter from here. And the world is irrevocably broken. So zero stars to summer.
Zero stars to summer, and zero stars because of the light pollution created in significant part by Starlink. What fun. Alison, what have you brought in for us?
So I've brought in, another thing that I put into my mouth, and it's a packet of crisps from Ireland called Banshee Bones, which...
speaking of cursed.
I know! These are the ultimate cursed crisps. I've had these as a child, and if you don't know what a banshee is, I'll describe it for you now. It's like it is a ghost woman that if you hear... It means that a cousin or some other relative of that equivalency will die within the next few days. Or if you see her, that means you're going to die. And I remember once I was about 15.
If you eat her?
Then she dies. And that's why I'm giving it 5 out of 5. It's the curse. I've broken the curse.
As someone who, like... I don't know my cousins. Like, I have cousins in the world, but we didn't really interact with them. I don't know my cousins. Just really not a threat to me. If it happens to me, oh yeah. Somewhere out there, that's someone else's problem.
Yeah. You're like, shit to be my uncle, but I'm okay, you know. Like banshees, I remember like when I was a kid, I was about 15, and I was walking down the small road of my friend Donna. And I heard what like this screaming sound. I was like, hey. And me and Donna were about 15. We were walking home from a Darius concert, and we both looked at each other and we went, banshee, run. So I ran as fast as I could, but the faster I ran, the louder the banshee got behind me. And I was so scared that I threw myself into a ditch. And I said, take me, banshee, take me. Because at 15, I was ready to die rather than run. And the noise had stopped, and I realized that what I thought was the sound of a banshee was actually the sound of wind blowing through my hoop earrings at the time. the scariest Irish ghost story you'll ever hear in your life. So 5 out of 5. 5 out of 5 for the banshee bones.
Now it is time for our cyber attack news. Glamorous cyber attack. People in black tippy-tapping on keys in the middle of a metal room, apparently. This is the news that ransomware Alf V, also known as Black Cat, is reportedly behind a cyber attack that shut down MGM Grand Casinos on Monday. Alison, you love rolling the dice. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, this was like a Hollywood film. So basically, this whole the whole MGM Grand system was taken down by a 10-minute phone call. So they were able to... So basically, they got a little bit of information about an employee from LinkedIn, rang up the help desk, asked for that employee, and within 10 minutes was able to bring down the whole MGM Grand's computer systems, which... For me, it was like a weird comfort that like AI still has no match for being polite. You know, being a polite human is going to get you a lot more than AI. This company was valued at like three. Look, this is how long. Is it trillion? Is it 3,900,000, and then a 00, and then another 00. What's that in words?
I believe that's 33 billion.
It's a lot. It's a lot of money, and they were taken down by a 10-minute conversation. They took immediate steps to secure its systems after receiving outage reports. And by the way, MGM Grand are kind of doing the thing that Irish people do, which is going, it's grand, leave it, it's fine. So the FBI are aware of the incident, but it's just a crazy thing. Now they say, what's the name of the organization? It's Black Caps is the organization that have taken taking responsibility for this. And I didn't know this, but there's quite a lot of computer hackers that steal money from casinos. There's a company called Lazarus, which is such a cool name, by the way, for any computer hacker company. And they stole $41 million in virtual currency from stake.com. So it happens. I'm just
apparently that casinos are a great place to attack, for which I blame entirely George Clooney. also the fact that it's kind of a victimless crime because casinos are f***ing immoral holes for ruining people's lives, and I'm not going to be worried at all if someone steals all of their money. But my favourite recent casino hack was the one where hackers used a fish tank to hack a North American casino by using the sensors that were connected to an internal PC that regulated the tank's temperature of food and cleanliness, but was also connected to all the other systems in the casino.
That's incredible.
Which I think is great.
I reckon the fish was in on it. I think that's a very suspicious fish. That the fish only started working at that casino a month beforehand. Highly recommended by a friend.
Oh god, if you're doing a Hollywood remake of that film, you just have some guy in a trilby hat just tapping the fish tank, going shooting fish in a fish tank. You know what I mean? It'd be amazing.
Joe Pesci smashing the glass of the fish tank that's now empty after the fish is off in the ocean with a bag of money.
Amazing! That would be incredible. That would genuinely.
We got our demolitions guy. We got our getaway driver. We got our fish.
Yeah.
All the things we need for a successful casino heist.
Now this fish is the best in the business. The only problem is his memory is 3 seconds. So every 3 seconds, someone has to explain the plan to him one more time.
I mean, to be fair, isn't that the structure of every heist movie, is just treating the audience like they're the fish and explaining to them exactly what's happening every time?
That's so true. That's so... I was thinking about what was the actual phone call like. This was a 10-minute phone call. Through my kind of experience of breaking the law with phones, maybe the conversation went a bit like this. Hello, MGM Grand. Hello, I just want to know, is your casino running? And they go, yeah. And then I'm like, you better go look for it. That would be the tip-top phone crime of my life.
I just love the idea that at some point MGM had to admit to this, and the universe reaction has been like, oh, did someone make a bad choice and end up losing a bunch of money?
Well, I mean, also, a 10-minute phone conversation in the context of the modern world is genuinely stressful. I assume that on the heist team they had a boomer, because this is not a millennial crime. This is what you need is, you know, your mum to give them a call and tell them how she feels about the washing machine settings.
Yeah, if this was a millennial situation, you'd receive a text that just says, M outside the safe.
Eggplant emoji. And that's all the time we have for our casino news, because now it's time to people making up things in stand-up news. The extremely lucky Hasan Minhaj has had his scandal wiped out by more disgusting scandals this week. But we're going to unpack this story a little bit. James Colley, you've made up most of your life. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, I actually was just on the way to the gig when I heard this story. Hasan Minhaj is a comedian, a very good comedian, and a comedian I very much like, but who a lot of his act is very autobiographical. This is not, it's not one of those acts where you're like, hang on a second, half of this chat is you talking with a squid, but squids don't talk. He's telling autobiographical stories from his life where details seem to have been exaggerated or completely fabricated, and with real world consequences, with things like various iterations of a story he told about a prom date rejecting him on the night of the prom. They're being disputed, recounts of this from the date saying this actually conversation happened beforehand. He didn't show up with a corsage, and also he put my photo up and told people I was a racist, and that did not go well for me when that came out. It's not just comedians make things up all the time. They do things like, yeah, I'm sober, or consensual, things that comedians always make up. But this is a particular one because your act is on authenticity. And I would say with Hasan, there's these horrible mired problems with as well, of like often you're trying to speak to a bigger problem in this case, or blah, 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 all the stuff, boring caveats that I'm sure anyone intelligent enough to listen can do in their own head. What I want to get to out of this is, this has been a banner week for stand-up comedy in general, and I realize I am saying this on a record with a bunch of stand-up comedians, but are we sure this is worth the effort? Are we certain we should still be doing this? Like, if like every 4 months we found out one juggler was a fraud and another was a sex pest, and I know that's a bad example because I'm certain if I looked into it, one in every five jugglers is a sex pest, and I am being generous to four out of every five jugglers who are just pervs. But if that were the case, we would say, hey, maybe don't juggle for a few weeks. Maybe we should work out what's going on in the juggling community and perhaps install a HR department in the juggling community. But comedians don't do that because we are incapable of keeping as many balls in the air as the juggling community. We can't focus on as many things at the same time. But all I'm saying is, are we certain it is worth it for what is a paltry 50 minutes in an overheated Edinburgh cavern? Are we certain that the actions are worth the results?
Well, if you see my show Twist from this year, you'll find out that I think the answer is no. Yeah, it's a tricky one because we've all, you know, I've got a story where one of the villains in my show is called Dave, and he's a composition of about five different men that I know, three of whose names were coincidentally Dave. So I thought, I'm going to call this character Dave. And then two of the five men contacted me later to say that their feelings had been hurt. And I was like, it's not you, but it's also not you. So I don't really know how to react.
It's interesting because, like, I do stand-up comedy about, like, real experiences and stuff, and I realised that, like, you have to make changes in order for the audience to find it more palatable, even though it's not the truth. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did some stuff about being robbed, and when I talked about having a knife, like, the person who robbed me had a knife, the audience just refused to laugh at anything else, like, that I did in the show, because they wanted to focus on that one detail. But the difference with Hasan Minhaj is, like, I feel sorry for him because he says there is an emotional truth to it. And I'm sure he has been rejected at some point, like, over his race. I'm sure, like, he wouldn't... Too much of him. But I'm just like, I wouldn't feel that he'd make it up. I'm sure he felt at one point that his daughter was in direct danger because of the type of comedy that he does. And obviously, like, he's done this story in, like, such a dramatic, silly way that could absolutely be verified, and it's just a weird thing. Sorry to get all serious about it.
No, I feel so. I have a very bizarre version of this problem, which is I like doing stand-up show, do autobiographical stories, but I'm mostly telling low risk, like stories from my childhood. But my high school friends love to come to every show and then sit me down after the show and go over where I lied. And it's a really interesting,
my
like,
friends do that
post-show factor. And like, look, I lie because you're not that interesting. What I needed in the situation that we were in was a professional comedian to finish the story in a way that would really sell to an audience. This is on you. I'm lying because you didn't deliver in reality.
That's amazing.
James, when you next put out a special, please can that be the DVD bonus, is you just sitting around with your high school friends having them correct all of the facts.
That would be great.
There is a legendary Australian comedian, Tom Gleeson, who Alice would know well, but an adored comedian here who has a regular feature in his comedy festival shows, which is he will finish his show and he will say, now there were three lies in the last hour, who wants to guess what they were? And it is a beautiful yearly end to his show where you get to, and then when you've been to a few, you spend the whole time being like, I don't think he really sold a washing machine on Gumtree or whatever his story is. But it adds an extra game to the show. It's such a good conceit.
Oh, look, I got a confession, guys. I never actually put batteries in my mouth. What I did was I put one of those large windmills that make electricity, but it didn't seem relatable. So I wanted to be relatable to the gargle crowd. But I was like, what can I fit in my mouth? And I was like, well, a battery. And so I'm sorry. I did put a battery in my mouth. I promise you I did.
Look, I'm going to believe in the emotional truth that I want to believe in here. Yeah. Not only did you put a battery in your mouth, you often have batteries in your mouth in my head.
You're spitting batteries out right now.
Genuinely, the biggest feedback I get off people is batteries in my mouth, Shrek or soup. Like, those are the three things that people think of very much. And I'm into them all, baby. You know?
Yeah, I feel like the problem, the central problem with the Hasan Minhaj story is that everybody knows that comedians make some stuff up, but mm-hmm. it's at what point is it too much? At what point do we sort of give up our suspension of disbelief? At what point do we agree that it's fictional? But you also have to understand this is in a country, America, mm-hmm. where despite all of the evidence, they still insist that they're number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel sorry for him, but like there is a part of me that's going, I wonder if he'll just do a second draft up now on things that are his emotional truth and go, is there any other examples from my life that I can bring that's actually real to make a point that I want to make? You know what I mean?
I think it's a good time for all American comedians to reassess their action. I would like to see Jeff Foxworthy to say, you might be a redneck if your gun rack has a gun rack, but also you might just be very organized and you might need a second gun rack for your gun rack. I want to hear the full disclaimer.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Alison Spittle, have you got anything to plug?
I got a tour coming up, but it won't be for ages, but it's called Soup, and you can go enjoy that. If you're in Ireland, go on the Virgin Media Player. I'm going to be on Celebrity Gogglebox with Kerry Katona, which is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
James Colley, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, if you are in Australia and you love a rom-com, I have a novel on sale now. It's called The Next Big Thing. It's a little rom-com about big things in Australia. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you are an international audience, if you go to small independent bookstores and you threaten them, they will find a way to bring it into your country. But for now, it's pre-orders in Australia, so please go on and do that, because weirdly, it matters. Weirdly, pre-orders matter. You can't just have a book for sale and people buy it. You have to buy it before it's for sale, and that's how we do this industry.
Yes, it is an extremely odd thing. Pre-sales do make a massive difference, which is why I say that for me. You should also go to unbound.com and find Alice Fraser, find the Dancy Lagarde reader, and pre-order that for your friends, family, and frenemies. Also, if you happen to be a romance novelist, writer, or in like the romance community, like with a podcast or a convention or something, hit me up, because I'd love to tell you why I love this shit. Thank you to our roving reporters, PK, who sent in fossil licking and the casino cyber attack story, and Robert Wells, who sent in the cursed painting story. If you would like to be a roving reporter for The Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers on that particular app while it lasts. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser, where we do weekly writers meetings and chatty meetings for $1 a month. And this is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.